accord. All right. Tonight, you are listening in as I'm going to help Adam interview Mary Rolato. Now, I have to give you a little bit of background about Mary. We're talking about the ins and outs of opening a B&B, a guest house, Airbnb, VRBO, all things short-term rental. And I go way back with Mary. And so I asked her to come on this evening and she agreed to come on and talk with us. And I remember, oh gosh, Mary, I'm going to date myself now. This has to be, could it be 20 years ago?
Oh yeah. Easy.
Yeah. And I went to a women's symposium conference. I can't even remember the name of the conference because I do a lot of those. I love those. I do a lot of those. And I had attended this one, and this particular conference had breakout rooms. And so everyone had a chance to talk on the main stage, and then we could choose which breakout rooms we wanted to go to. And I decided, purely on topic, I really didn't know Mary, but I decided on whatever her topic was that day that I wanted to sit in that particular breakout room. So I go in, and here is this larger than life personality at the front of the room. And I tell you what, I was smitten from the moment she started talking. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to be her someday. No. I want to be comfortable on stage. I want to be able to just, you know, be very conversational. Mm. And she just talked to the group and was just so confident, and just her topic was so on point. And as she delivered her talk that day, I thought, you know what, there's a lot of folks here at this conference, but no one else is gonna come up to that level of communication in that kind of a group. Yeah. So I decided to explore who is Mary Rolato. So I, of course, friended her on Facebook and started exploring all the things that she was doing. And since then, I have connected numerous times in different events that she's been in. And oftentimes, the whole reason that I even decided to go to an event was because Mary was one of the speakers. So anyway, so that's my background with Mary. And so she is on board today, and we're going to be talking about her Airbnb. But before we jump into talking about the B&B, Mary, I want to know, tell the audience a little bit about your background leading up to you deciding to even do an Airbnb. What led you to that decision?
Well, I am someone who is constantly changing, evolving, experience, or, you know, new experiences come about. I grab them, I grab a hold, and I run. My father and mom and my mother always used to ask, like, Mary, what are you doing now? So I'm a journalism major from OU with more of a background in marketing and PR. So most of my career really is in nonprofit work and development and marketing. I worked for maybe 15 different nonprofits in Columbus. And this is where I've been most of my life. And so raising millions of dollars for capital campaigns or whatever missions, I decided to go on my own. And when I went on my own, I needed networking experience or networking opportunities. I think I'm a natural networker, but I needed opportunities, and none really existed the way I needed them to exist for me. So I started Dames Bond, and that's where we met, Kathy. You came. Yeah. So Dames Bond was started, and it's really when Dames Bond, Dames Thrive. And it was a way for women to connect with each other and social-based networking experiences. So all of that. And then, okay, so now what do I do with myself? And I opened up two retail shops, one in German Village, one in the Short North, representing people that were part of the directory for Dames Bond, because how do you promote or market someone who makes beautiful vases or something you need to touch, taste, or smell? So I needed a place for that to happen. So did retail for a few years, and I adored every minute of it. And Kathy, I think that you would be someone who would just love the opportunity too, because you're a people person. And I could see you just welcoming folks in with that smile. So anyway, loved it. And then now what do I do? And then I went into, I ran for state representative.
I remember that. Yes.
Got myself into politics a little bit, mostly because I went to DC, the march, and I brought 75 women with me. And we learned a lot on the way there, marched and then came back. And I was motivated to run. Thankfully, I didn't win, but I did get a lot of experience and met a lot of people. But Allison Russo is the state representative for my district, and she is phenomenal. I support her wholeheartedly. And then here I am, you know, I've done events, I've done conferences, and now I have Thrive Ohio, which is sort of Dame's Bond now. Mm-hmm. And it still is fulfills my passion, and that is helping women achieve their goals, their ambitions, small business owners, truly, but focusing a lot on women because we still have it rough. It's still a little bit of a challenge. So we need all the help we can get. And then all of a sudden, I'm an STR owner. How does that happen?
So, yeah, what made you decide to do that? I mean, did you stay at Airbnbs and you said, I kind of like this concept. Let me check it out.
You know, I have to, I'll say that my spouse and her best friend were absolutely, I didn't really know this. They had made a pact that they wanted to buy a house and make it an STR. I didn't know about this, but I kind of, you know, maybe thought it would be an interesting idea. Stayed at a lot of Airbnbs, but then, you know, Facebook is so awesome at exposing, you know, certain people to certain product and ideas and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, a realtor friend of mine, happened to post this house. And I'm like, oh, is that Darling? I didn't know where it was. I didn't know anything. I'm like, that is a cute house. Clicked on it. I'm like, oh, shit, that's in Buckeye Lake. And I'm like, well, that's really kind of, so it hadn't even hit the market yet. I contacted the person who, and she gave me the person's name who gave me another person. And I finally had the seller. So we went to meet, and I found out the price and everything, went to meet them, and we went to Papa Boo's after we met.
Okay.
And shots later, we bought an Airbnb.
Now, so was it already an Airbnb when you saw it?
It's a new build. It was pretty much a new build. They torn it down, basically, down to the bedrooms. And then they built this thing. I'm sure that the builder intended it to be a short-term rental. But I'm not sure. But we made it one. And it's working.
Well, for those that are listening, first of all, we do have a couple of realtors in the audience already. And for those of you that are listening in, I put the link to Mary's Airbnb in the chat. Now, I'm going to give you a little chat lesson here. If you open up the chat, and if you're on all different devices, it's a different spot. So you kind of have to look for it. But once you open the chat, if you go to the bottom, like you're going to type a message, and you see three little dots clear over to the right, if you click on those, it'll let you save the chat.
Oh, nice.
And that way you can save the chat right into your hard drive, and you don't have to sit there and try to write all of those numbers and letters down.
Well, can we put a link to the thing on after we post it?
Oh, yes. I'll include the link on the replay. I'll include the link. So you can go into the replay and the link will be there. But if somebody wanted to look at it while we were talking tonight, you didn't have to write all of that down. If you've got if you've got another window you can open in your computer, if you're on your computer, there's all kinds of ways you can look at it. But if you just want to save it for later, the three little dots there at the chat, clear to the right, saves the chat for you. Or take a screen print. If you're on your phone, take a screen print.
If everybody can actually say hi, it'd be interesting to see.
We have Ada, we have C. Murray, we have Damaris, we have Emma, we have Ingrid, we have Karen, we have two Karens. We have Karen Edwards and Karen Ricker. So we've got two Karens, and both Karens are realtors. So welcome, everyone. So anyway, you saw that the house was for sale. You liked it. It was cute as a button. And what was the deciding factor? What was that aha when you said, I'm going to make an offer on this. What was that deciding factor?
Myself, Claudia and Jason, we went to Papa Boo's literally, and we sat down. We're like, wow, this is an amazing opportunity, and I think we can make it work. And in fact, you know, when the builder said, he mentioned the potential, the income potential. Now, I think he inflated it a little bit, where we're a little bit more realistic, but we didn't need to. Look, if we could make a good portion of the mortgage, we were happy, at least for the first year, to get our feet wet in this whole business.
Right.
But then, you know, you learn a lot in a short period of time, you know, with all the guests that you get. I mean, we've only been open since October of last year. So less than a year.
Okay.
Do you manage it yourself? I might have missed that.
I do. Okay. I do. Yeah. At this point, you know, my goal is really to learn every single thing I can about the house and about the business before I can turn it over to someone like a management company. And also we have to start banking a little bit more too, in order to afford that. You know, in cleaning, I was doing all the cleaning initially. But it was important for me to understand what in the house really attention.
Yeah.
Where are the dirty spots? Where's dust collecting the most? You know, I really know that house like you wouldn't believe. And now I turned it over to two amazing women, but it's hard to find anybody to really, and it, you know how it is for when you're working with contractors. We're so lucky to have these two amazing women, Tina. And so you turn some things over once you have it, you know, going. We're not ready for a management company. I'm really not sure I'm ready for another house. I might be at the right price, but how many houses like this come along when it's just perfect?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Not often.
So when you found the house, when you saw the house, did you have the intention that it was going to be a short-term rental, or you're just like,
be a summer house. I thought it was going to be something we'd enjoy in the summer. If it was on the lake itself, I guarantee we would have made it that way and probably not done an STR, This happens to be on the canal. And also the place is just suited for this whole business.
Yeah.
It's just right for it. And because it's on the canal, it wasn't a place. I want to, if let's just say this, when I have my own home, I want to see big water in front of me.
Yeah.
But being on the canal is also great for guests because it's quiet. You know, there's a little less activity. It's sort of calm and boats go by and it's lovely just to sit on the patio. Mm-hmm. So it's a different experience. I think it just, it's really made to be an STR.
Was there any issues with zoning or anything, or did you have, was that an issue at all?
No. In fact, I was a little afraid because we moved so fast on this. We were afraid another offer was going to come in. And, we moved fast. And so we didn't have, really much an opportunity to look into much.
Yeah.
And so what was the question again? Cause I'm like, we moved.
Oh, just if, when you purchased it, like as far as like the zoning and permit out there.
Oh, right. I was surprised because in Columbus, some things are changing. Right.
Yeah.
Kathy.
Yes.
And I was nervous that this might be taking place over there. We happen to be lucky because we're in Millersport and not in the Buckeye Lake proper.
Okay.
On the other side of the lake, there's a lot going on over there that would scare me if I had an STR. Okay. And it hasn't reached me yet. And I'm praying, I swear to it, that it doesn't, because STRs, short-term rentals, could be in trouble, even though we're, you know, responsible for helping build the economy there. I can't even tell you how many guests we've had that are supporting Millersport businesses, you know, renting the kayaks, eating the pizza, going and getting to the restaurants and everything. It's amazing. Renting the boats.
Now, did you have to do any kind of a filing with zoning? Did you have to get any kind of an approval or a certificate or anything like that?
Nothing at all. Nothing that says no. I mean, we filed as a business, so we have that. But that's it. You know, so I mean, in Millersport, not even newly built houses have to have much in terms of you know, permits and that sort of thing. Let's just say it's a casual place.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. And again, you're so lucky. Okay. Don't anybody go away. I'm going to share my screen for just a moment. So don't anybody go away and bear with me. This is what her house looks like.
It's incredible. It's
called Terrace Retreat on the canal with a boat dock. And this is what it looks like. Is this not really amazing? I won't go click through all the pictures, but I did put the link. You can come down. It gives all of the description, shows the bedrooms. There's a calendar you can check in. And she's got almost a 5-star review out of 11 reviews. Folks are saying,
I want to talk about reviews.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful thing. So anyway, I'm going to scroll back up. One last look. That is the house. Is that not the cutest house?
It's gorgeous.
I see why you said, wow, what a cute house. I get it.
Yeah, it's you know, really the people that built it and you know, they staged it just so. So it, you know, and it came furnished. I mean, it came, everything was there. And so you had to do, I don't think we could have walked away with it and been, you know, just happy with ourselves for making such a poor decision. I think this is one of the better decisions, you know, that a person could make that on a whim. And it, let's just say, it, we got lucky with this one.
I can see. Now, what made you decide that you were going to put it on Airbnb? Because once you know, have the green light, so to speak, with zoning, you can actually be on as many platforms as you like. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just stay on Airbnb. Are you on other platforms or are you just on Airbnb?
In fact, I'm on Airbnb and Vrbo. That's it. I know there are a lot of other platforms. You know, there are Facebook pages that are dedicated to STR owners. I'll tell you, if I would have read any of those prior to buying this, I wouldn't have bought it. I would not have been in this business because it scares the heck out of you. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, look at this. I mean, all the damage reports and, you know, complaints about guests. And I'm like, oh Jesus, I don't know if I can handle this. It takes a lot of guts to be an SDR owner.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
A lot to, yeah.
Well, because you have so much at risk, you know.
Right. And you have this home that you adore, whether you live in it or not, it's still your business, you know, and any kind of damage to it or disrespect to it, that I cringe when the fact that that could happen. But let's get back to, so we're on Vrbo and Airbnb. And so Airbnb, we have a 4.91 rating because of one person who didn't want one little thing, but on Vrbo, we are at 5 stars.
Okay.
This FYI.
Very, very good. Very good. Now, I'll just say I have a short-term rental in Canal Winchester, and I haven't had any issues. And I've been open since October of 2016.
Yeah.
And I have not had any guest issues. And when I see, you know, like you said, some of those Facebook groups, I would be like you. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be a ton of work, and you're constantly fixing damage. And sometimes, sometimes I can't hardly tell someone's even stayed.
Those are the best ones. That's shocking too. It does happen. We've been very, very lucky with our guests. And I think we set a precedence as well. You know, I mean, you know, Vrbo and Airbnb, both very different platforms, get to the same thing, right? Renters, guests. We've had so much luck with Vrbo, it's crazy, but Vrbo does not vet the people like we need them to be vetted prior to getting in. So we have some things like after we accept, they still have to send me an ID. They have to make, I have a signature process where they have to sign my guidebook, because I want them to know everything, you know, and then we'll accept them. We have 24 hours. Airbnb already vets them pretty good. And so we can do instant bookings there, which is really nice. If I was on other platforms, if we had our house on other platforms, I'm not sure I could handle it. We're completely booked. You know, there's hardly a day, you know, like weekdays. Yeah. And so we will offer specials and stuff like that, but We have, I think, one weekend that's, you know, this summer. That's it, which means I can't enjoy it.
Well, this is true. This is true. Now, yeah. You could go in and block off a couple of dates if you wanted. If you could.
Yeah, we'll do that probably during the weekdays when, you know, it's not so heavy and, you know, so busy.
Now, describe what works as a check-in for you. Let's say somebody books, you've accepted. And now, because the one thing that I've noticed with guests is that they come in all hours after the check-in time. And depending on what they're coming for, you know, they might be coming to go to a wedding. And so they might be, you know, at a wedding reception until really late, and they don't get back over to the house until, you know, after midnight. So what do you do for check-in to make it easy? Because I know you can't run out from where you live out there every time you have a check-in.
You know, I've learned that details are everything. I mean, from the steps, you know, we have 12 steps you have to walk down. They're lit. I mean, that's the only way you're going to get down there. So if you're okay being in having a bumpy ride, just FYI, the whole process for the door, for the keypad, like touch it, it lights up, you know, put the number in, then pound, wait 3 seconds, something like that. But all the details. So I don't meet them or greet them. The house is lit prior to a guest arriving. So we do have all of the stand lights on, the porch light on the outside. And then we lit it up, you know, the patio pretty good in near the park. So they shouldn't have any fear. It's not so dark. It's welcoming. It's pretty welcoming. And once they get in the door, they'll see a bottle of wine. They'll see snacks. As well, if I know children are coming, we'll accommodate those children with a few other fun kid-friendly snacks. We have a bottled water for everyone, although we might be discontinuing that because we have really good water from the fridge, you know, in the dispenser. And we want to motivate people to use that maybe instead of all the plastic. And then getting down there, it's nice. It's bright, you know, I think it's pretty bright for the evening. And then with the snacks and that warm sort of sense of home, it helps.
I get that too. Yeah. We have our place pretty well, lighted as well when guests arrive. And we also are doing a keyless entry, and we kind of make sure folks get in, you know, if I know I've got someone checking in late. I do kind of stay close to my phone just in case they have a question or they struggle a little bit. And so Mark always teases me that I'm running my front desk from my cell phone on wherever we are at the time, which works really well for us. Yeah. You know, it makes it pretty passive. And once I know all my guests are in, then I'm kind of like, okay, now I can go to dinner.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And everybody's comfortable. Yeah.
And I too got rid of the water bottles, but because I have individual rooms in my home is how my short-term rental works. Mine is a residential guest house. I went to glass carafes.
Oh, nice.
In each room, and got rid of the plastic because, you know, sometimes they would open a bottle of water and take a few drinks and set it down. And next thing you know, I've got all these plastic bottles that I'm buying and then throwing away. And I thought, you know what, I need to do my part. So I did get rid of the plastic.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We still have maybe a case of water to go through, but.
Okay. And again, clarity comes with action. You know, you start down that path and then you see, like you said, you realize, you know, where the dust bunnies collect, and you realize that you don't want to use as much plastic. And then you just start tweaking to just make it better and better and better and be a good steward as well. So I get that.
Well, yep, you know, the one thing I was going to say, Kathy, is I always ask guests at the end, of course, to rate, but don't, you have to give me a 5-star review. And I'm just teasing. But I always ask for their suggestions on how we can make the place better for future guests. And we've gotten some really good ideas from folks that we've implemented. Actually, a lot of them. Something as simple as, you know, can you just put signs around that explain what this light does? Because it's kind of odd and quirky. And there are some quirky things about the house that need to be explained. But I'm like, how do we do this and make it attractive at the same time? So you get all these ideas from folks, and I'm just like, okay, this is great, you know. you know, I was going to try to say, like, think of the, well, anyways, I'll think of some of the ideas that in our conversation, because some of them were really good.
Go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just curious because you mentioned you provide snacks and a bottle of wine, and that's awesome. That's incredible. What I was just curious, what other amenities do you, besides like linens and things, do you provide? Coffee or things like that?
We have a Keurig, so we offer coffee pods. There's oatmeal as well, just oatmeal packets. So that, you know, look, if you're really hungry and you haven't been able to get to the store, it's something simple. So all the shampoo, soap, and conditioner, we use a dispenser in showers, and that's really easy. And I find that, you know, people do use it, and, you know, nobody's complaining. Unscented everything. Don't put coconut and all that fun stuff that you love, because someone is not going to like it if they're they have allergies or they're sensitive to scents.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, other things, for long term, or let's just say for 2 weeks, if you're there 7 days or more, the washer and dryer is available to you as well.
Do you provide some laundry soap and that sort of thing so they don't have to run out to the store? Or
We have a utility room that we keep locked, actually, but everything's in there. So if they do have access to it, they'll have access to soap as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, Adam, is, you know, putting out these snacks, you would think that people would consume them, like all of them, or take them with them. They don't.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, now we've had a few that ate all of them, but that's rare. And I'm like, wow, they just, and some people leave the bottle of wine. And I'm thinking, well, it was a gift to me, so why not take it? I might do that myself, but they don't. And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wild.
I've noticed the same thing. Now, we just recently came to Florida because I'm an author of a new book, and I had a speaking gig down here. So thank you so much, Mary. So we came to Florida, and then we have a condo in Sarasota. So we flew into Sarasota, stayed at our own condo, but then we drove across to the Atlantic side because that's where my speaking gig was. And we decided to stay in an Airbnb while we were over there. And it was cute as a button, but there was no place to charge our phones if you did not have an actual plug for the outlet. They had no little charger ports anywhere in, you know, that we could charge our phones. So that was just an observation on my part. You know, we did okay. You know, we couldn't put the phone close to the bed. We had to put the phone somewhere else to get it charged and all that. And it was an older house, so it didn't have as many outlets as what a new house might have. And so that was just a little awkward. And we realized that a while back. So in our short-term rental in our home, we actually, I bought them right off of Amazon, these little charger ports that go next on a bedside table. So you don't have to pull the table out and get behind the bed to plug something in like you do in some places. It's very accessible.
I love that idea. I'm going to do that.
And so you can just plug in right there next to the bed, your phone's right there. Cause a lot of folks are now using their phones as their alarm clocks. You know, they've got everything is on their phone. And so they keep their phone. Some folks are still working when they're traveling. So, you know, they have to keep in touch, and they don't want their phone in another room or across the room. They want it close to them. So anyhow, we added those in all of our guest rooms, and I think they were, I don't know, less than $20 a piece.
And no one has taken them?
Nope. Nobody has. And I put a little note across the bottom that said, you know, please do not remove from the room, you know, in case they pick it up and go, oh, that wasn't mine in my suitcase, I need to leave that. You know, just a little reminder. But no one has ever taken them.
That's good.
And we get a lot of good comments about those.
We you know, this is a relatively new build structure wise. I thought that they might put, you know, you can actually put USB ports in
the
outlet now. And I'm considering maybe getting some of those changed. But I, you know, then watch, technology will change. And it'll be something different. We'll stick with the plug for now, right?
Anyway, yes, lots of great ideas. Now, what does a morning look like there for your guests? Do you have anything for them if they get in really late at night. And then the next morning, is there anything in addition to the oatmeal and coffee, if they need to have a breakfast, or is there anything that you provide?
No, just the oatmeal and the coffee. What's great about our location is there's a diner right down the street in walking distance. And it's wonderful. It's like your mom and pop shop, you know, it's really nice. It's called the hot dog something, but it's much more than hot dogs. So we, you know, suggest people go there, or, you know, yeah. Yeah.
I know exactly where you are. I'm familiar with that little area right there. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Now, again, because we're just a single room, kind of like a hotel room, and we do have two double beds in each one of our rooms. We have a total of three rooms. I have an entrance parlor where all of my guests come through. And in my entrance parlor, I have a baker's rack. And on the baker's rack, I have flavored coffees, all different assorted teas. And then in the mornings, I do individually wrapped pastries and fruit bowl and all of that right there on the baker's rack. So when guests, you know, come out of their rooms in the morning, I don't advertise that. I advertise that we're just a guest house, and each room has its own coffee pot, you know, and I put a couple of cookies in each room. But in the morning when they came out, they go, "This is for me." And I'm like, "Yeah." And so that goes along with that over delivering, under promising and over delivering. And so when they come downstairs and see, and they said, "I could smell that coffee. I couldn't wait to come down and see if that was for us." And I'm like, "Yep, it's for you."
Yeah. And, nice.
So I get a lot of comments on that as well.
Yeah, that's nice. Living there or living nearer to the house would offer me the, you know, more opportunity to do certain things. But yeah, I like the fact that you have that. So this is sort of like a bed and breakfast for you, right?
Well, when you go to the Ohio Revised Code, and this is for all of those that are listening, the Ohio Revised Code has a section for bed and breakfast, guest houses, and boarding houses that all comes under the same paragraph in the Ohio Revised Code. And so it dictates, you know, how many folks are allowed to stay and whether you have to have fire inspection every year and all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to comply with that section of the Ohio Revised Code because we wanted to get an actual permission from our city, Canal Winchester. Now, it was on my radar because at the time, Mary, I don't know if you remember, but I was in the salon industry. And I actually did the mayor's wife and the chief of police's wife. And, you know, so I knew that I didn't want to be under the radar. And there are so many short-term rentals. They're like, "Oh, I'm just going to put it on Airbnb. And as long as nobody complains, I'm going to be fine." And they just try to stay under the radar. And I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to have all of these bookings and then to get some cease and desist letter somewhere that said I couldn't do that there. For whatever reason. So I wanted to get total approval so that there wouldn't be any issues.
Right.
And so once I did that, then I wanted to decide, you know, how can I best serve my clients? And we started off with a breakfast, but we found that a lot of our guests were there. They were coming in to go somewhere. You know, they were going to go to a family reunion or a wedding or whatever. And they really didn't want to sit and have breakfast with us in the mornings. And so we were throwing away a lot of food early on because we were trying to be, you know, that destination. Well, we found out that we weren't the destination. Folks wanted to stay with us, but they weren't coming to stay at the Caraway Guest House. They were staying because we had great reviews and our price was great. So from there, we started shrinking that breakfast down a little bit, and we ended up with a little bit of an elaborate continental. So we've got the fruit, the cookies, the fruit, you know, the coffees, the teas. And so so it is considered a bed and breakfast with the continental, but we still advertise it as a guest house, and we don't even mention the food in our advertising. And that way, again, it's a nice little way to over deliver.
Yeah, they
arrive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Mary, you mentioned earlier you've got a couple of women that do the cleaning for you, and they're phenomenal. Do they own a business that cleans Airbnbs, or are they just it's just a deal that you've got with them privately?
No. So I think they are literally now just going to be forming their LLC because they have so much business. Cool. So, you know, it's hard to find really good cleaners, right? So you put it out there on Facebook, literally. And I went to Buckeye Lake Boat Lovers and Friends, something. Hey, everyone, I need a cleaner, blah, blah, blah. These folks were referred, and then I contacted them, and then I put it on my Facebook page, and they have, you know, now more work, which, you know, I think helps motivate them to actually form a legit business at this point.
Yeah.
And this is all relatively new. So they're just learning, and believe me, I will be pushing, you know, toward that. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I love that. Adam, tell us a little bit about your scenario. And I'm doing all of my own cleaning at this point because, of course, I live there. So it's easy for me to do that. And I just kind of, you know, make my day around that. And I spend maybe an hour and a half total when I have a guest check out and the rooms are all ready to go again. So it's not a huge commitment on my part. And I'm right there. So it's not like I have to drive somewhere to do that and then drive back. Now, Adam, you're totally hands off. And for our listeners, just describe briefly how yours works. And again, this will be for Mary's benefit so she can learn another option as she gets bigger or decides to maybe buy more properties. And then our listeners can also gain a lot of information from this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the poster boy for using a property manager because I don't want to do any of it at all. Like I go and stay in an Airbnb, but I don't want to clean it or do anything. Like that doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. And we joke often on this call that I don't know why I'm here because I'm a horrible person to advocate for short-term rentals because I don't know anything about them because I have a property manager that runs them. But it's the best. So that said, a friend of mine started a management company. He runs my short-term rental. It's fantastic. They take 25%. And I get a check and that's it. It's incredible. Like I've been in the house twice. I went to walk through for the final walkthrough when I bought it. And then I was there like one time a year ago when my friends were in town and they stayed there and we had to pick them up for dinner. So it's that hand. I mean, it's like the most passive investment that, I mean, it's almost more passive than I'd say my stocks because I have to like call people about that. But this is, it's great. I mean, they handle everything. I mean, even to the point where I bought an empty house and then I'm like, do you guys get any furniture? And they're like, yeah. And then they just went and furnished the whole thing. So they sent me a list of stuff and they said, here's what we usually put in these houses. And you can change whatever you want and, you know, we can do whatever you want. And I said, no, this works perfectly. And so they've had guys there, you know, unboxing stuff and putting together beds and furniture and really incredible. It was great service. So I've had an excellent experience with the property manager and yeah, you give up a piece of money to them, but I don't know, man. I mean, it's still cash flows and that's the important thing. It's like, as long as it's still cash flows, because obviously you don't want to necessarily give that up because then it's, you know, you could make the argument that the investment then is for appreciation or something, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I do agree with you. So I have to say, Claudia and Jason are the money and I am the management company. So okay. That's how we work. When I'm done with that, then they're going to have to. So, and I get paid. So they have an LLC, they pay me.
Okay.
And so they couldn't do it without me. I'll say that, just like you, they want nothing to do with it. I mean, hey, give me the money and let's give some people an amazing experience in my home or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, or just let them sleep well, you know,
yeah.
An amazing experience. So yeah, I do get it. So I misspoke somewhat not to say that. So I am sort of the management company and I do believe that it's important that you have, but I'm not getting 25%. So I want a raise.
Mary,
Jason and Claudia.
Yeah.
Love that. Now, for the listeners that are listening in, I will say I started with one room in my house, and then it went well. And I wanted to make sure that Mark was okay with it. And he was. After we had a few guests, he was like, yeah, this is okay. So then I added a second room. And then down the road, several months later, I added the third room because we had to shrink, you know, our footprint in the house in order to use all three of the rooms. We have a 4-bedroom house. So the room downstairs, the largest one in the back, became the owner's suite, along with, we had 2 living rooms in this house. It's an 1865 historic house, when they had a parlor and a living room. So we have the parlor and 3 of the rooms for the guest. And then we have the actual living room, the dining room, the kitchen, and the master suite for us. So it's really a perfect setup. And I actually, for those of you, and I know we have a couple of realtors on, and Mary, am I correct? You are also a realtor?
I was. I got my license in 2008 when the economy went down. And I got out. I should have stayed, or at least kept my license. I wish I would have. I let it go. And I worked my buns off of that.
Yes, I remembered seeing that you had gone to Hondros. So anyhow, we have some realtors on board. So you're gonna appreciate this. I actually generate enough cash flow from my 3 rooms in my home. It's a residential guest house where I have developed an account that I save those funds in, and has allowed me to purchase a condo in Florida. And it has allowed me to purchase a condo in Columbus that I am now using as a midterm rental. And we talked about that briefly. And a midterm rental is a little different than short term in the fact that a midterm is where folks stay longer than 30 days, but less than a year. And that's considered midterm. Think of traveling nurses or corporate, where maybe a corporation brings some key folks in and they're relocating, but they need a place to stay for 6 months while either their house is getting built or they find a house to buy or whatever. So that's called midterm. And my short-term rental in my home has allowed me to buy those 2 condos and a property in Hocking Hills. And all of that has come from the income from the short-term rental, the guest house. So yes, it's another stream of income.
That's right. Right. Yeah. That's what we're hoping that, right. Exactly. Eventually. So, but they say you need more than one to make money. So, you know, how many do you need to make really, you know, good money? I'm wondering how many is good. How many do we need? I'm trying to figure that out for myself. Like, would 3 really give me the income that I want, you know, to sort of to chill, you know, in retirement, or do I need 7?
Well, you know what, Mary, I can speak to that because I actually teach that in our Happy House Hunters group. We have this group is the ins and outs of opening a bed and breakfast or a guest house. I have another group called the Happy House Hunters, and it's all about for newbie investors. And one of the first things that we talk about in the Happy House Hunters is what is your freedom number? So the number of rentals that you need versus what Adam needs or versus what I need could all be a different number because it depends on what our freedom number is. Mm-hmm. And your freedom number, everything else goes into that. If your goal is to make a job optional, which that's all of us, I think, at some point of our lives, we want to make working optional. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at other things that you have going on. So you might have a retirement, say from a teaching career or whatever, that you could include as income already coming into that freedom number that you're looking for. So everyone's going to be different, but the whole goal is to lay out over the last 6 months, the budget. What is your budget that is comfortable? Now we're not talking, you know, and Mary, I know you go to Italy. And so we're not talking the trips to Italy. Although in your budget, that might be in your budget because your family is there.
Well, my whole family is there. So until I move there, you know, that's going to, travel to Italy.
So a trip to Italy would not be in my normal budget. That would be in my vacation budget. So the point is take your normal budget. And if that includes the trip to Italy, you can put that in there, but take your normal budget over the last 6 months and just decide what is that freedom number? Is it 3,000 a month? Is it 5,000 a month? You know, what is it, you know, higher? Is it 8,000 a month? What is that freedom number for you that you need to generate? And then go ahead and subtract out the income that you have already coming in passively, not what you're working for, but the passive, like if you've got a retirement or some Social Security or, you know, something passive that you're not trading hours for dollars, and then see how much money you have to generate. And then once you have your first short-term rental, my guess is from October to now, you have an idea of what that is cash flowing. Once you pay your expenses, the cleaning, the, you know, the mortgage, the property taxes, the whatever, what do you have left over? What is that cash flowing? And then just do the math, you know, divide that into how much you need and how many of those do you need to reach that freedom number?
I think something... One thing I want to mention about this, and then I also want to go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have to do something, Mike, really quick.
Yeah. No, okay. Absolutely. Okay. We'll continue the conversation.
Yes. We'll,
okay.
We'll hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Nope. You're okay.
That's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's totally fine. So that's a great picture, by the way.
That is. That is a great picture.
So a couple things I want to talk about real quick. One is, with what, you know, she's wondering what, you know, how many of these do I need? I think one thing it's important to kind of discuss a little bit is what type of property it is. So one thing that we've made kind of a distinction before in the past on this this show is it a utilitarian short-term rental or is it a destination short-term rental? So. Right. You know, that's a destination. This cute little blue house on Buckeye Lake, that's a I want to go to there real bad.
And just hang out for the weekend.
Snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. It's going there in and of itself is cute and fun. And then you kind of hover around the property and then you do the other things that are around there as well.
Well, and a boat dock comes with it. So if you had a boat, you could take your boat with you and spend the weekend boating and your boat is right there at the boat dock.
Absolutely. Mine is cute, but it's not that way. Nobody is coming to stay in downtown Columbus, Ohio, right? To hang out at my house. Nobody wants to do that. Like they're going to do other things. They're going to the university. They're going to Children's Hospital. They're going to any number of different, the Quarter Horse Congress is a huge deal, you know, in Columbus, Ohio. So like that's an important point. So it's like, okay, well, how much are you getting from the property is the big question. But I kind of, because we're touching on money, I wanted to just take 2 quick minutes and talk about acquiring short-term rentals and financing options. So, you know, the quickest way, of course, is always, it's cash. It's like, if you find an awesome deal like Mary did and you guys want to act on it very quickly, then it's, you know, it's a cash offer. It's going to get it done as quickly as possible. But I'm not rich. I don't have, you know, money to just like buy a $300,000 or $500,000 or $1 million property like right away. So then it gets into financing and how do you finance it? And you can, I mean, everybody knows about Fannie Freddie. Of course, you can have up to 10 Fannie Freddie loans. Oh, quick disclaimer. I'm a mortgage broker. Yeah, with Motto Mortgage, NMLS ID 980119, just for lawyers. But,
You're legal now, Adam.
Yeah, but I always forget to do. Well, I don't. For the lawyers, I don't forget to do that. It's in everything, but I feel like the need that I have to say it. Yeah. But anyway, so So Fannie Freddie loans, that's conventional financing. Then there's DSCR lending. DSCR lending is where you go off the income and the expenses of the property itself, which and is Mary, awesome.
This would be an amazing opportunity for you.
Yeah. For what? Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 If you want to expand. Yeah. If you want to expand. So let's say you've made, you know, some cash from the thing and how do you amplify that? That's how do you leverage the 20,000 or the 40,000 or 50,000 or the $100,000 that you've got and buy that $500,000 property. And this is a great way to do it. DSCR is fantastic because it doesn't look at your personal tax returns. So for a lot of like the people that listen to this call, they have challenging income because maybe they're brand new realtors So they don't have 2 years of personal income to qualify for Fannie Freddie. Or if you're a flipper and you're flipping houses, you have maybe have weird income, or generally, I mean, just real estate investing in general, sometimes it's difficult to track the income. So DSCR financing, that's debt service coverage ratio financing. That's a great way to go.
And because they're just looking at what the house you want to buy can generate an income. That's all that they're looking at to qualify.
What's the income per month? What are the property taxes? What's the insurance? What's that mortgage payment? What's that P&I on that mortgage payment? You know, are you, they turn it into a ratio. So you take the income, you divide it by the mortgage payment. And then that is the PITIA of the mortgage payment. And that's principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and association fees if applicable. And then if that ratio is 1.2 or better, that's good enough for most lenders. So that's an option.
Yeah. That is an amazing opportunity
to
get into additional properties.
I actually just had lunch with a lender today, and he has a program where he can bundle together short-term rentals. Very exciting. So if you go out and buy 10 of these suckers and you want to do, you know, like $1 million loan or $2 million loan and you want great terms, he'll do it based off of the income for that. So, or for the, based off the short-term rental income. So that's fascinating. Yeah. Off of projected income. He'll do it off of projected income, which is even more mind-boggling. I'll put all my information.
Mary says she's having a little bit of an emergency, so she has to go. She's not sure what's wrong. So anyway, this is a perfect opportunity. A lot of these different mortgage options.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me. So Mary jumped off for a minute. I don't know if she's going to get a chance to jump back on.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I can kind of finish up a little bit about the financing, but and then we can kind of call it because we're just about at an hour anyway. But as far as financing goes, there's lots of different options. Call me because I'm always happy to talk about it. I can do it in a bunch of different states. Some states are weird. They have weird laws and you can't get financing through a broker in those states unless they're like physically in the state, or, I mean, there's some, but we can, I'm happy to direct you if I can't help you myself. Real quick, it looks like we do have some questions.
Yes. As a matter of fact, Karen wants to know, do you have any suggestions where to learn more about best practices in running a short-term rental? Any particular website? She said she finds the Airbnb Facebook groups hard to navigate at times, since the info on those groups can be overwhelming. Says we're closing on a cottage tomorrow at Indian Lake. Not right in the lane, but very close to the water as a second home, but we'd like to Airbnb it too. Karen, connect with me because I have an entire course on Airbnb on how to open any type of a short-term rental. And we're just getting ready to launch our very own mastermind for folks that want to dive deeper, that want to just meet up, just a handful of us, a smaller group, and meet up and actually do a little mastermind and actually work through any of the questions and problems that you might have coming to the surface on having that type of a property. So anyway, connect with me and we'll get started with that mastermind. So this would be a perfect opportunity to do that. My first suggestion, though, would be, Karen, to just double check your zoning and make sure that you can do that at that particular location. That's the number one thing before you sign on the dotted line. If, in fact, you have to Airbnb it to make the deal work for you, make sure you're allowed to do that. I always buy properties. Even the one that I bought to use as a midterm rental, my midterm rental idea was going to fly because I already checked zoning so I could do it. I already checked the association bylaws and so I could do it. But if anything changes, I still have the option to do that as a long-term rental. And so it works either way. And then in Hocking Hills, when we bought that one, everything's a go. I did all my homework. Everything's a go on that for short term or midterm and or long term. And at the end of the day, if all else fails, I can still use that one as my own personal vacation home. So you always have to make sure that you have a plan B in place, and that you're not depending on it being a short-term rental to make the deal fly for you. Giovanna says, do you think that Columbus will do what Atlanta just set in place, that you can only have two Airbnbs for now? Right now, Columbus is Airbnb friendly, but you've got to be careful in Columbus because a lot of the little, I'll call them little jurisdictions within Columbus, like Whitehall, is not.
Yeah.
Columbus is Whitehall is, not?
I know Whitehall Bexley is like no-go on
SBR. Bexley is not. So you have to be careful. So Columbus proper, if you're in Columbus proper, they are very Airbnb friendly, but a lot of the other little municipalities inside of Columbus proper are not Airbnb friendly.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Columbus is going to go that route because right now when things are hopping, it's hard to find rooms. A lot mm-hmm. of times they're all sold out. And so I don't think that Columbus is going to go that route. Not anytime soon. Not unless like some huge hotels come in all over the place. The hotels don't like the Airbnbs because it takes away from them.
Yeah.
So they're always, you know, lobbying against the Airbnbs. And as we all know, money talks. So again, you have to have a plan B in place in case you can no longer Airbnb something. Can you at least long-term rent it, midterm or long-term rent something? So always have a plan B in place. Adam put in there his contact information to get in touch with Adam. Karen says, good advice. Giovanna said, I wanted to set up a midterm rental in Clintonville. Is that area okay? I haven't researched Clintonville's bylaws.
I can talk about that a little bit. So Clintonville is technically not a municipality. It's a neighborhood. I mean,
so it's, and, you know, Columbus.
It's still Columbus.
Okay.
100% Columbus. Yeah. There's no Clintonville, Ohio. Like it's all Columbus.
Okay.
So it is Columbus, Ohio. So you're under Columbus. And then Emma asked a question. What about Florida? Florida, what was the guy's name that does the Florida lobbying thing?
Yes. I've got his replay. I don't remember his name right off the top. But yes.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be careful in Florida is there are so many mobile home parks and there are so many condos that appeal to that 55 and over crowd. And most of those say, no. They do not want short-term rentals in those complexes.
I have a question for you, Kathy, and to see if you know anything about this, because you know Florida.
Yes, I'm in Florida right now. I'm in Sarasota at my condo right now.
Okay, so the Villages. Do you know the Villages?
Yes.
Do you know anything about short-term rentals in the Villages, Florida?
They want all owner-occupied units there.
Really?
Because, yes, they don't want that transient, you know, of guests coming and going. They don't want the transient traffic. They so want that, all owner-occupied.
I'm curious about that because I've had some people talking to realtors down there, and the realtors are pushing short-term rentals in the Villages. They're like, oh, yeah, you can buy it now, set up as a short-term rental, and then, you know, when you're ready to come down and then finance it, basically finance it through short-term rental. And now, I'm like,
again, you have to read the association. Now, the one that I'm in, because these are all like condo type units.
Yeah.
You have to read the association bylaws. Mine says I can, after 2 years, I have to owner occupy my condo for 2 years. After 2 years, I'm allowed to rent it out twice over the course of a year. Well, that's okay, because my first thought was I want it for me.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. And then if I do decide that I'm going to rent it out, the best of both worlds is I don't want to come and hang out somewhere where I can't stay in my own place and have to make beds every 2 days because I'm doing this Airbnb stuff where, you know, somebody stays for two nights and moves on. So the fact that I can only rent it twice a year is good, because what that means for me is that I would want to rent it to a snowbird that would want to come down and stay for 3 or 4 months. And so at that point, see, it would work for me because I could say, well, I could rent it once for like January, February, March, maybe even April. and for a snowbird and collect that rent. And then once they go in the summertime, when it gets really hot down here, once they go back home, then I can use it the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win. So it's still a vacation spot for me. It's a vacation home for me, and I can rent it out. And I, again, I had to have a plan B. And my thought was, is here's the problem with an association. At the stroke of an ink pen, they can sign away that you can use it as a rental. They can get together and say, effective this date, we're not going to let anybody use their unit as rentals anymore. So you have to have a plan B. And in this association where I'm in, you can owner occupy, or you can have long-term renter that, yeah, that just lives here. You know, you can rent it to, you know, Joe and Susie, and they just live here all year round. And so that's my plan B, is to either use it for my own vacation home. And if for some reason I no longer want to come here for a vacation home or whatever, I can just use it as a long-term rental.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's, yeah, again, it's a good plan
in
B.
All of these, yeah. In all of these areas, you know, the Florida, even the Clintonville, you know, the Columbus, check zoning. That is your number one thing to do. Always check your zoning first. And if zoning says it's okay, then make sure if there's any association that governs that development, make sure then it is okay with the association. Those are your two biggies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been an awesome conversation.
It's been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Any other questions? And again, we've got Karen Ricker, Karen Edwards. We have Giovanna with us tonight. We have Ingrid. We have Emma, Damaris, Carrie, CM, and Ada. So yes, we've got 10 folks on the call. So thank you so much for being with us this evening. Mary was awesome, but she had a little bit of an emergency that was going on there behind her. She did leave her awesome picture up though, so we can see her on the screen. And again, in the chat, I did put the link to her Airbnb. It is cute as a button. And we're not too far from there where we are in Canal Winchester. We're about 20 minutes from where her Airbnb is. So we run out there all the time to the lake. That's one of our favorite little places to hang out. So yeah, I'm like, Adam, I'm going to have to check out her Airbnb and maybe book it for a weekend. That would be a fun time to be right there on the lake. And there is, like she said, there's a great little diner right down the street. There's ice cream at the end of her street. Mm-hmm. There's a big ice cream place. Anyway, lots of fun, lots of stuff to do out there. Gosh, that was just a great find for her. So thank you everyone for being on. Adam, you put your information there in the chat already. For anybody that wants the replay, just go to Kathy Benner. com, and you can scroll through or scroll down the homepage to the free meetup for the ins and outs of opening a B&B and click through, and all our replays will be there, and we'll put this replay there as well. So Karen says great info, and thank you. And Karen, thank you for being on board with us this evening. Any last comments before we go, Adam?
No, I mean, it's always a blast. Always enjoy spending this time with you. I look forward to seeing you on the next one. And I'm sure that we're going to run into each other at networking before.
I'm sure we are. Yeah, we need to meet up sometime soon. I'm flying home Thursday, early Thursday morning. I'll be back in Columbus, Ohio. And so, yeah, there's some great events coming up. Anyone that wants to connect, please connect with me again through kathybenner.com. If you're right on the verge of purchasing something and you have questions and you just want a sounding board, please go to my website, click through, contact me. We'll definitely chat. And several of you on the call I know personally, so just send me a text or pick up the phone and call me, and I'd be happy to chat with you and answer your questions. If you're looking for funding or financing, this is the guy over here, Adam. He can take care of that for you.
And it's my passion. I'm a big fan of it. And it for all kinds of things, not just short-term rentals, anything you want. So call me for money.
Yes. Yes. If you need money, call Adam. If you need a sounding board or some advice on the short-term rental, you can call either one of us, and we'd both be happy to help you out. So the tide rises all ships.
Amen.
Yep.
So all righty. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. This has been a pleasure as always.
Yes. Thank you, Adam. And Mary, I know you're probably going to come back and listen to the replay to see what you missed. So Mary, thank you so much for being on today, and we will see everyone later.
See ya.
Bye.